We are a praying church. We don't believe in not praying. You're looking at a recipient of prayer. And I can look around and see all the rest of you, you know, people who have prayed for you also. Father, we come before you today, giving you honor, glory, and praise. We want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for waking us up another day. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what's going on in our world, in our country, within our families, within ourselves, Lord, we're going to rejoice. And the Apostle Paul said, and again rejoice. So, Lord, we thank you. We honor you. We magnify your name. We glorify you, Lord. Lord, we will praise you with our mouth continually for your goodness, your love, your sacrifice, your compassion, your obedience to the cross, and your faithfulness to our Heavenly Father. We will worship you in spirit and in truth for your holiness and righteousness. So, Lord, we come before you today. Lord, each and every one of us, you must increase in our lives, Heavenly Father, and we must decrease each and every day. So, Lord, we thank you. We pray for the children today also, especially the unborn. We ask, O Father God, that each and every conception, every child, O Father, in the womb will be brought forth. Because, Lord, we know that only conceptions happen if you allow it and you have a purpose and a plan. So, Lord, we pray for the unborn tonight, today. And we pray for those who are here today, Father God, all our little children here today. I'm so thankful to see our kids. They're our next generation. So, Lord, we just commit our children unto you. Set them apart that they will serve you all the days of life. And put a hedge of protection around them. Lord, we pray for those in the nursing homes and in the hospitals, healings, oh, Father God, and that they are protected. We pray for our government. Create a clean heart and renew a right spirit within them and us also. Lord, put godly people in every area of their life. Lord, we ask in Father God that you put Christians in the positions of Father God in our country. That it would be a Christ-led country, oh Father God. One nation under God. Lord, I pray for those who are traveling mercy. All of our missionaries, oh Father God, be with them also. Lord, have your way with us here today. Let it be no distractions. Give us ears to hear. Let us not walk out of here the way we walked in. Lord, I pray, Father God, that the words that come out of my mouth be of you and you only. Get me out of the way, Lord. That we can hear a rhema word, a right now word, a word that will encourage, inspire, and might challenge us to bring glory to your name. Lord, I pray for healings this morning, deliverances this morning. I pray for provisions this morning. But more so, Father God, I pray that you prepare the hearts of those who are here that have not yielded their life to you, that don't have a personal relationship with you, Lord. Prepare the hearts of those who are here today, that they will not walk out of here without, Father God, knowing that blessed assurance, oh, Father God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Kids, Sunday school. Kids, go to Sunday school, behave, and have a good time. And once again, forgive me for sitting down here, but I really do need to. I hate to sit down and share, but I really need to. As I say, you know, my knee has been feeling a lot better. I mean, really, the swelling has gone down some, you know, and still got some pain, but not as much as it was. You know, I got mobility. I got more mobility. Well, a little bit. Anyway. But, you know, when I start feeling better, I start doing more. You know, and I did more than I should have. I've done more than I should have. And my doctor and my therapist told me to calm down, calm down, calm down. So that's what I'm going to try to do. Notice I said try to do it. But also, for those of you who are here, we want to invite you after the service because we're going to have a celebration of life of Vern right after the service here. But however, we got a bunch of scriptures here today. So I'm going to ask you to, I'm going to read a bunch of them, but the one that I want to focus on. If you want to go to Romans 6:4. Oh, when you get this, amen. If you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles in the pews there. What I want to talk about today is walking. You know, I'm walking with a cane today. And, you know, different times of our life, we have different walks. You know, before I was saved, I walked in the world. You know, I walked in sin and iniquity. But once I got saved, I started walking with Jesus. Now, I want to explain to you that word walk, because it's in the Bible quite a bit. You know, it does not just imply taking step by step, but it means your life and your lifestyle. That's what walking in the Bible means, is how you're living. In Romans 6:4, it says, therefore, we are buried with Christ, or him, in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Let me read that again. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death. And like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, that resurrection life, it says, even so we also should walk in the newness of life, or we should also walk in the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. We also should live a new life in Christ. For those of us who have yielded our life to Jesus, for those of us who have a personal relationship with Jesus, now I said a personal relationship, not a casual relationship. You know, not when you want something or you need something or when it's convenient for it. But you walk every day, don't you? Walk every day, don't you? And we need to walk and live the way Jesus did every day. Not just on Sundays, not just on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. But every day, we need to live our life according to Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We live by faith and not by sight. We have an inheritance. And that inheritance, the Bible says, is it fadeth not away. Heaven for those of us who are walking with Jesus, who are living the same way that Jesus is living. We're not perfect. We all have issues in our lives. We all have things that we do that we shouldn't do. Amen? Yes. But the key to that is you don't keep doing it over and over and over and over again. When we make a mistake, when we do things that we know that is not right according to God, we confess it to him, not me. We confess it to him and repent of it. Repentance means is to turn away from it. To turn away. When you repent, you don't do the same thing over and over and over again. Once again, we all have wrong thoughts and bad decisions, but you don't keep on having the same wrong thoughts and bad decisions over and over again. And then in Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is a good one. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. What Spirit are we talking about? Talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit that is within us. So what it said is, live in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will tell you everything that Jesus has said. If we will be still and know that he's God, if we will shut it down from time to time and seek the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all righteousness. But we're so busy a lot of the times doing things that we want to do. We're walking sometimes in the way that we want to walk, and it's not the way that we should be living. Amen? But I'm here to encourage you this morning, to inspire you this morning, to challenge you this morning, that we need to start doing better. Notice I said we need to start doing better. You know, and I hear people say, oh, Pastor, I try. I do the same thing. I'm trying. You know what? Either you do or you don't. Either you do or you don't. You seek what you desire. And you desire what you seek. Do you know that? Where your heart is where your treasure is. Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, this is the Apostle Paul, beseech you that you walk worthy. I love this. That you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called. Every one of us has been called. Every one of us has a commission. That vocation is what God has given you to do. Every one of us has a assignment. We have giftings. We have talents that God has given us. But are we using them? Are we using those talents and those giftings that God has given us? Are we living in doing that? Our worship team is outstanding. They bless me. But we need more. We need a drummer. We need a bass player. And we need a keyboard player. So if y'all sitting out here and God has gifted you in those areas, you need to step up. You need to step up. Because we have a need in this church. If everybody would walk in the Spirit, if everybody would do the vocation that God has called us to do, let me tell you something, we'll be movers and shakers. This city would not be the same. This city would not be the same. Our families would not be the same. Our communities would not be the same. As we're walking in the Spirit, as we're living for Jesus Christ, people will want to do what we or have what we have. They would want to live the way that we live. Are we a reflection? Are we shining the light of Jesus Christ? A lot of times, the only Bible that people know is you. Do you know that? A lot of people, the only Bible that they know of is you. So what type of witnesses are we portraying to our family, to our community, to this world? Once again, if we walk in the Spirit, we should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's not only talking about sensual or sexual. You know, a lot of people lust after money. A lot of people lust after positions. A lot of people lust after possessions. There's a lot of things that people lust after. But if we walk in the Spirit, we won't have to lust after that. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Huh? I don't have to lust after nothing because the Lord is my shepherd. Have you made him your shepherd? He's right there, waiting. I remember, you know, before Christ, B.C., and the things that I've done in my life, I was looking for love in the wrong places. I was looking for affirmation in the wrong places. But when Jesus got a hold of me, I didn't have to look no more. You see, the buck stopped at Jesus. Jesus Christ, period. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in the love as Christ has also loved us. Walk in the love as Christ has also live in the love that Christ has loved you. While we were yet sinners, while we were yet enemies of God, while we were out there doing what we do, he still loved us. How good is that? You are an enemy of God and he still loved you. And walk in the love as Christ also have loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savior. I don't know about you, but I want to smell good to God. You know, when I was a kid, we used to play basketball a lot. And, you know, we would go and play basketball. Then I would come home and I call myself, you know, we call ourselves coming on and putting on some clothes. And then we would go out and mingle with the little girls. You know what I mean? Have a look. You know, just good, clean fun, mostly. Anyway, you know, a lot of times I didn't take a shower. Well, we didn't have showers back in my day. We had a bath. And back when I was real little, we had a little tub, one of them little galvanized tubs that you get into. Some of y'all don't know nothing about them tubs. But anyway, I would go home. I would take off the clothes that I've been sweating in, and I would put on High Karate and Brute. Yes. And put my clean clothes over that. So underneath me, I had sweat, nastiness, stanking. I tried to cover it up, with that Bruton-High karate, and you know, as you go and stuff, and you start to sweating, you know, that stuff start coming out. Don't nobody want to be around me. Even though I'm dressed, got nice clothes on and everything else, I wasn't a sweet-smelling savior. Let's just say that, okay? You know, what we have to do, we have to wash in the word of the Lord. God will clean us up. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 5:15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. See that you walk as wisdom, as wise people. And it says, not as fools, but be wise. That we walk in wisdom, that we walk in the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of the world. You know what kills me? People are educated people, and they still talk about the Big Bang Theory. Educated people. But how educated can you be? How educated can you be when you believe in that? And let me tell you, if it was a Big Bang, let me tell you who caused it. It was God. But my Bible don't talk about no Big Bang. He said he spoke it. And I believe that. I didn't come from no monkey. I didn't come from no amoeba. Even though I know some people kind of look. I'm just kidding. All right, let me move on. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as we live in the light, as Jesus is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. This is so good. But if, there's that if, it's a choice. He's given us, we have free will. Either to walk in the light or walk in the darkness. And it says, but if we walk in the light, as Jesus is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now, we have issues with one another. We don't all agree with one another, right? But we should have one thing in common. Regardless of the disagreements and the issues that we have, we need to love one another. You understand what I'm saying? Even though we have disagreements, we have issues, we still need to love one another as Christ loved us. Because God is love. 1 John 2:6, he that says he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as Jesus walked. Let me read that again. He that says he abideth in Christ ought himself, ought, you should, also to walk or live as Jesus lived. You know, there's a book that was out, but it's been out for quite a while. It's an older book. And I can't think of the name of the book, but some of y'all will. Y'all call it to me in a minute. It's where a church, they said, we're going to do what Jesus does. What would Jesus do? In his steps. If you have not read that book, it's an excellent book to read. And what it is, the church says, what we're going to do, we're going to live our life to do what Jesus did. When we're at work, when we're at home, wherever we're bowling alley, golf course, wherever we are, we're going to do what Jesus did. And it really made me think. You know what I mean? To stop before I do things, to stop before I say things, to stop before I think things. Would Jesus do this? If Jesus was sitting next to me, would I watch this? Would I listen to this? Would I say this? Would I go there? If Jesus was right there, would I do that? And the answer is absolutely not. But let me tell you something. Jesus is always with us. He said he'll never leave us and never forsake us. I love that book, In His Steps. And it's an older book. And it's not a real thick book, but it's a good read. You know, about how it transformed their lives. In the business world, you know, people who own business, you know, instead of having that deception and trying to take advantage, they would do what Jesus did. Powerful book. Once again, 1 John 2:6, he that says he abideth And we all say we abideth in Christ. We all say we love Jesus. We all say that we're serving Jesus. But are we walking like Jesus walked? Are we living like Jesus lived? That's the key to it. None of us are perfect. We all have issues. We all have struggles. We absolutely do. But we can all do better. We can all do better each and every day. In the book of Corinthians, verse 1 and 9, it says, be filled with the knowledge of God, God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so they could walk in a manner as unto the Lord. Walk no longer after the Gentiles also walk. Live no longer as the unbelievers. Be not equally yoked with an unbeliever. If you're dating somebody or if you're interested in somebody and you are a Christian and they are not, you need to leave them alone. I can't tell you how many people have come to me and said, oh, pastor, I want you to meet so-and-so. He's such a nice guy. Are you saved? Not yet, but I'm going to get him saved. Absolutely not. What happens is when they yoke up with that person, they influence them more than they influence them. And the next thing you know, we don't see them coming to church or nothing else. They're out there right back in the world because they've been influenced by this person who does not live for Jesus. Do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Because you can't save, you can't even save yourself. Let's know somebody else. But I see it over and over and over again. Oh, I can change him or I can change her. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. Leave it alone. I don't care how cute she might be or how handsome he might be. If you're a believer and they're a non-believer, you don't have nothing. You know, and there's been people that so mad at me because I will not commit a wedding with a believer or with an unbeliever. I cannot do it. I can't. As a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I cannot do that. There's a lot of things that I cannot do as a pastor. You understand what I'm saying? I cannot and I will not marry two men or two women. Yeah, I know that hit somebody. But I'm just telling you the truth up in here. I cannot and I will not. I've had people come to me and they have threatened me, said they were going to sue me and everything else. But you know what? I got a lawyer that's the lawyer of the lawyers and his name is Jesus. Amen. I know a lot of people, you know, don't like to hear that. But it's biblical. And I'm going to walk as Jesus walked. I'm going to live as Jesus lived. It's not my thoughts or my actions. This is what Jesus said. And I'm going to do what Jesus said, whether you like it or not. I'm not here to please you. I'm here to please Jesus. I want him, when he looked down at me and do this, oh, that smells so good. He smells so good. I'm not smelling that stuff that it used to smell like. But I'm smelling something good now. You know, I'm putting my faith in Jesus. I'm living by faith and not by sight. I'm knowing that Jesus Christ is in control of all things, the good, the bad, the ugly. Romans 8:28, to know, to know all things, the good, the bad, to know all things work together for the good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. You know, I want to say this here because I know a lot of people have lost a lot of people. You lost children, you lost husbands, and we've all lost other people, you know, and I have been guilty of this also. Lord, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, but they wasn't healed. They died. And then prayed for somebody else and they lived. What is that? I can't say what it is. All the thing I know is God does what he wants to do. He will save those who he want to save. And others he will bring home. Amen. Yeah. As I told y'all before, you know, some deaths that I had in my family, you know, it made me question. Lord, Why? Why did you allow this to happen to this one and that one and this one? I can't answer that. But God knows better than I do. God knows better than I do why he healed some and didn't heal others. But you know what? I told y'all this before. There was a man that asked me to go pray for his wife. And I went and prayed for his wife in the hospital, and she died that night. I said, I'm never praying for nobody ever again. Ever again. And when I saw the man, I was hesitant to see him. But he came and hugged me and said, thank you for praying for my wife because she's healed now. And I looked at him. I said, what do you mean she's healed now? I said, she passed away. He said, yeah. And she's healed now. She's healed now. You know, a lot of times we want God to do what we want to do it, how we want to do it, and when we want him to do it. I'd never looked at that, you know, that there. Healed now. Ain't got to worry about him suffering no more. We ain't got to worry about Vern no more. He's with Jesus. We ain't got to worry about Liza no more. She's with Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. And all the others who we've lost. I know that DeSarmo's lost one here the other day. She's with Jesus. Praise the Lord. And when all of us take our last breath, if you are in Christ, you will be with Jesus too. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's no in between. There's no purgatory. There's no waiting. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I love that. But once again, if any man be in Christ, there's that if. He's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. A new way of thinking, a new way of talking, a new way of listening. A new way of seeing things, you see. Before I got saved, I couldn't stand some of y'all. I'm just being honest. You know, the way that I was raised and things, I couldn't stand some of y'all. I wouldn't even be around you. But once I got saved, the Lord gave me a new nature. I don't see you as anything else than my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I love each and every one of you. I love each and every one of you because of that new nature that God put within me. Do I have some issues with some of y'all? But I love you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, if you would go to Genesis, this is the meat of what I want to talk about. Walking with God includes reconciliation, obedience from the heart, and an ongoing faith. Walking with God, or living with God, includes reconciliation with Him. Because if you're not born again, if you have not submitted your life to Jesus, if you're not you're not reconciled to Jesus. You're apart from Him. You have no fellowship with Him. Now, if you go to Genesis and 5, and I'm going to start in verse 21. When you get this, amen. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. Oh, let's stop here. Enoch, when he was 65 years old, he had a son named Methuselah. Methuselah was the oldest living person that ever lived on this earth. And it says that Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and he begot sons and daughters. Enoch lived the way God wanted him to live. He walked with God. And it says, and the days of Enoch were 365 years. He lived 365 years. I don't want to live that long. But back in that day, that was, you know, that long life. They lived that long life. It says, verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not. Ooh, wait a minute. Enoch walked with God. Well, he walked with him after he had Methuselah, it said. And then it said he walked with him for 365 years after that. And as he was walking with God, he said he was not, for God took him. I love that. He was walking with God 365 days. They would walk together. They would talk together. They would fellowship together. And then all of a sudden, one day, God says, Enoch, I love you so much that I'm going to walk you right up into heaven with me. I want you to be where I am. I don't want you to continue to walk in this world anymore. Because, matter of fact, it talks over here, it said that their hearts was desperately wicked. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was for only evil continually. That's in chapter 6, verse 5. He said, I'm going to take you home with me because the evilness of this world is getting worse and worse and worse. Maybe that's why God took Vern home. Maybe that's why God took Liza home. Maybe that's why God took my son home and my niece and so many others. He didn't want them to be in this wicked world, the things that was going on. He says, I'm taking you home with me. I want you to be with me now. I'm not going to let you go through all of this tribulations and trials and all that type of things. Praise the Lord. The Apostle Paul says, it's better that he said, I would like to go be with Jesus, but it's better for me to be here right now, for right now. I can't wait till my day come, but I'm going to have to until whenever God tells me, you know, your race is over. You know, and I'm going to walk with him until that time. And then after that time, I'm going to be with Jesus forever. How good is that? I'm going to be with Jesus for no more sorrow, no more pain, no more hunger, no more thirst. I'm hungry right now. My stomach is growling. So if y'all hear a little something in the microphone, y'all know what it is. It's my stomach. Amen. Praise the Lord. But what I'm saying is, he says that Enoch, we've been walking for a long time together. And I see that you've been faithful. I see that you've been committed. You didn't walk with me just on Sundays. You didn't walk with me just on Tuesdays at the prayer meeting. You didn't walk with me just on Wednesday at the Bible study. You just didn't walk with me when you wanted something from me. You walked with me every day, all day long. I saw the way that you're living. So Enoch, let me tell you something. Come on. Instead of you going back home to your house, I'm going to bring you to mine. In the book of John, it says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, also believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself. And this is a good part. And where I am in heaven, you will be also. How good is that? How good is that? That's why our hearts shouldn't be troubled, Vera. Because we know that God has received Vern up to him right now. He's looking right down here at you now. Yes. Vern loved you so much. I remember y'all used to sit right there. Yep. And I got a picture of y'all. You know I got a picture of you, don't you? Mm-hmm. They were both had their heads on each other's shoulders. I think they might have been praying because their eyes were shut. Praise the Lord. I'm sure that's what they were doing, because I know they wouldn't be sleeping in church. Praise the Lord. It says that Enoch walked with God and he was not, For God took him. For God took him. Now, wouldn't that be great that God would just take us? There's going to be a time when he does. And it's called the rapture. It's called the rapture. You know, and how good would that be? How good would that be that God just, in a twinkling of an eye, and we're gone. And we're gone. No more sickness. No more evilness of the world. None of this mess. Just gone like that. And it's coming. I'll tell you something. It's coming. Nobody knows the day or the hour. But Jesus is coming back. But before he comes back, he's going to take us. That's what I hope for me. You know, I don't want to be no 365 years old. I don't even want to get to be 100. You know, I want Jesus to take me while I still got a little spunk in me. You know, take me home, Jesus. You know, I don't want to be walking around, you know, with no canes and all that kind of stuff. Take me home now, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. But once again, how are you walking, church? How you walking? How you living? Are you living for Jesus? Are you living with him all the time or just part time? You know, when you go get a job, you know, some of the jobs say, well, you know, we don't have 40 hours for you, but we got 20. You can work part time. You can work part time. And you got a family. You got a mortgage. You got a car payment. You can't make it on 20 hours, can you? You can't make it being a part-time Christian either. You got to be full-time. Every day, all day long. Every day, all day long, we got to serve the Lord. But once again, we all falter from time to time. We all step out of line from time to time, don't we? Sometimes, you know, we let others influence us. I'm going to say this here. If you got somebody in your life that's influencing you not to serve Jesus, you need to cut them loose. And I don't care if that's a family member or who. If you have somebody in your life that's trying to influence you from not to live and serve Jesus, you need to let them alone. Because if you continue to have them in your life too long, the next thing you're going to be doing is walking the way that they walked. We need to have a made-up mind, church. And a made-up mind is, I'm going to walk with Jesus come hell or high water. I'm going to walk with Jesus. I'm going to serve Jesus every day. Every day I wake up, Jesus, I need you to lead and guide me. What do you want me to do today? You know, and I say this all the time. There's a prayer that I pray, and I see it every morning. Lord, give me what you want me to have today. Lord, do with me as you will today. And then the second part of that is, Lord, I only want what you want for me. Because you see, there was a time in my life I didn't want what God had for me. Because I still like doing things that I shouldn't be doing. I'm probably the only one in here like that. But I didn't want to give up certain things that I was doing. Because I loved them. I love doing things that I shouldn't be doing. That's like your kids. You know, you tell them to clean up the room or do this, that, and other, you know. They love not doing what you tell them to do. That's part of their nature. But when we get a new nature, Lord, I only want what you want for me. As Jesus says, take this cup from me, Lord, or otherwise, he said, can we do this a different way? Because I know it's going to hurt. I know it's not going to be good. And then he says, nevertheless, not what I want, but what you want. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will, Lord. Nevertheless, are you there today? Not my will, but your will be done, Lord. Are you there today, church? And it's a daily thing. Daily yielding, you know, is daily victory. Every day, I'm yielding to you, Lord, because you know the enemy's at me. You know he's trying to entice me. You know he's trying to get at me. Because he knows the things that I really, really like. So he's at me, trying to tempt me with this. So, Lord, today, I need you to keep me from that temptation. Lead me not into temptation and deliver me from evil. Because, Lord, I'm making you my shepherd today. And I don't want nothing else but you. Are you there today, church? Are you there with that, church? Do you want nothing else but Jesus? Or are you just kind of in the middle of the road? Or you might be 3/4. Or you might be 90%. Or 99.99%. But Jesus says, he says, you'll find me when you seek me with all of your heart. With your whole heart. Where are you today, church? Where are you today, church? And we all know where we are. But the main thing is God knows where we are. So what do you want to be? That's the key. Do you want to be all in? Or you want to continue to teeter and totter, straddle the fence, do the things that you want to do that you know that is not of God? Where are you today, church? And where do you want to be? That's the key. Because you can have as much as God as you want today. You can have as much as God as you want today. So if you're here today and you want more so you can live and walk in a better light. Let me say that again. If you're here today and you want more of Jesus in you, where it's all of Jesus and none of me. And like I say, that's a daily process. That's a daily process. So if you're here this morning and you want more of Jesus to get less of you out of you, I'm going to ask you just come on up front here. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And for those of you that you want that, if you just want to stand up in your pew, you can. If not, you know, you can stay seated where you are. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, you can have as much as me as you want today. Young man, what is your name? Brandon. Is your first time here? Have you given your life to Jesus before? You have? Or you want more? Amen. I see you got a Bible in your hand. Is there anybody here that have not truly surrendered your life to Jesus? What about you, young lady? You have? Fully? All right. Anybody else? Is there anybody? Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed if you say, well, you know, I think, I maybe not, I might. Amen. Amen, sister. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody else that have not surrendered your life to Jesus completely and fully? Well, I'm going to ask each and every one of you to pray this prayer with me, because there might be somebody here today that have not truly surrendered your life to Jesus. Have not truly said, Lord, come into me and have your way in me. You lead and guide me in truth and righteousness. So I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me, each and every one of you. Heavenly Father, I come before you today. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross and shed his blood and was buried for 3 days. He rose up after that third day, and that he's seated in heaven next to our Heavenly Father. This day, I'm asking you, Lord, to come into me and take charge of my life. I surrender everything unto you, and I will follow you. I will walk in your ways from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me say something to you. If you are really honest about wanting more and more of Jesus, he says, all you need to do is open the door and he will come into you. So that's what y'all started doing. Y'all opened the door for Jesus to come in more and more. You know, we need to have an open door for Jesus to come in anytime. Amen. So if any of you need a Bible, if you don't have a Bible, we will get you a Bible. Start reading in the book of John and ask God before you read the Bible to give you an understanding of what you're reading. Because if you read something and don't understand it, what good is it going to do you? That word is life. God's word is a living word and it's life. It will change your life. Trust me on that. God bless you all. Thank you. We're getting ready to have our service for Vern here in a little bit here. Yes.
The women's study is studying John now. We're in the beginning.
Amen. Amen. The women are doing a study in the book of John.
Yes.
Yes.
I thought, yeah.
What was that? Okay, yeah. Well, God bless you all once again. And for those of you who are going to stay for Vern's celebration of life, I'm going to ask you that we're going to get about five more minutes. We're going to have a service.